Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and to recapture the truth of God from the Bible. Very important to understand, why study the Bible? So this is number 7, how to study the Bible. Now here's the reason why we need to study, because the Word of God is the truth. John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them in your truth." Now that says an awful lot, because sanctify means to make holy. Now, a lot of people think they're just fine the way that they are, but God says we're not. Prophet Jeremiah says, "O Lord, the way of man is not in him to direct his steps." This is why we need the Word of God to tell us what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. Because if we make up our own minds, we don't know how to go. Romans 8 chapter says that our natural carnal mind is really an enemy against God. Why? Because we're incomplete. And we need the Word of God to make us holy. And then we need something else to go with that. We'll see it. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. There's not one lie in the Bible. Now, can ministers make the Bible lie? Yes, by leaving out truth. Now, just recently on the news, there was this famous Katie Couric, CBS news anchor. She lost that job, but she had another job, and she did an interview, and she deliberately changed the video to make it be completely the opposite of what it actually was. She asked the question concerning how to keep guns out of the hands of criminals. And then she spliced in silence while panning all the faces of those in the meeting. But that's not what was said. They all gave answers on how to do so.
If there are no background checks for gun purchasers, how do you prevent felons or terrorists from purchasing a gun?
So you notice there a long pause. I believe the way it plays out, it was 9 seconds in length. This is, however, Howie, how it actually went with the question and answer.
How do you prevent felons or terrorists from walking into, say, a licensed gun dealer and purchasing a gun?
Well, one, if you're not in jail, you should still have your basic rights, and you should still have a gun.
So if you're a terrorist or a felon?
If you're a felon and you've done your time, you should have your rights.
Well, the fact is, we do have statutes, both at the federal and state level, that prohibit classes of people from being in possession of firearms.
Well, you said it was stunning silence, and the problem is the silence wasn't real. It was edited. The producer said this about that: "My intention was to provide a pause for the viewer to have a moment to consider this important question before presenting the facts on Americans' opinions on background checks. I never intended to make anyone look bad, and I apologize if anyone felt that way," end quote. In your experience, is that how it's done, Howie?
That is absolutely not how it is done. That kind of distorted editing would be against the rules in any network news division. That non-apology doesn't nearly go far enough, because what you just saw, what the audience just saw, is that it looked like Katie Couric's question left the members of this gun rights group not just stunned, but kind of deer in the headlights, didn't know what to say. And in reality, as we heard from the audio, they had plenty to say, but that was edited out.
Well, likewise with the Word of God. You can't take part of it and say, I like this, and then take the other part and say, well, I don't like this. See? That's why you need to understand the Word of God, and it is the truth of God. Now, how do we understand it? We understand it by studying. And what also do we need to help us? Because as we saw, God is the one who is going to be teaching us, because these words that are here, though they are in print, actually have power and meaning behind them when you believe and understand and apply it to yourself. The Bible is the greatest and most complete book in the world. We'll cover that in just a little bit. But what is it that we need in order to understand the Word of God, which is truth? We need the Spirit of the truth. And that comes from God. It is the power of God. And you don't receive the Spirit of God unless you repent and are baptized and have hands laid on you. And repentance means repent from sin, and sin is a transgression of the law. And when you repent, you don't go back and do the way you've always done. You start walking in newness of life. And that's why we are to study to walk in the way of God. Now here, in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, it tells us what we need to understand the Bible. Let's pick it up here in verse 4. Paul writes, "And my message and preaching was not in persuasive words of human wisdom, rather it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Because it takes the power of God to change our minds and convert our minds. It takes, as we will see, the Spirit of God to understand the Word of God. So that your faith might not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the ultimate reason to study. That's the ultimate reason for understanding the Word of God. Now we speak wisdom among the spiritually mature. However, it is not the wisdom of this world, nor the rulers of this world, who are coming to nothing. Rather, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It is the secret of God. That's why you need the 14 rules of Bible study on how to understand the Scriptures. Even the hidden wisdom that God foreordained before the ages unto our glory. The plan of God is so fantastic, it is just mind-boggling. You need our new book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. That will be such an eye-opening book for you, very inspiring. And why did God create you? What does He want from you? What does He want to do with you? What does He want you to become? And that is all defined in the Bible and the Word of God. But you need this to understand it, which is the Spirit of God. Now then, verse 9. But according as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now remember where we started with this. A good understanding of all they who keep His commandments. And what is the first and greatest commandment of all? To love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being. Do you do that? Is that your goal in life? It ought to be. Because what God has to offer you to make you wholly is absolutely fantastic. So you get that book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. You're not going to find it in the theological seminaries of this world because they are locked into the traditions of men. You must find it in the Word of God. And we have for you at Church at Home and on cbcg.org. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things for you to learn and to study from the Word of God. Because the Bible is the greatest book in the world. But you must have the Spirit of God in order to understand, as Paul writes. Now notice, after you love Him with all your heart and mind and soul and being, and after you receive the Holy Spirit, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Do you want to understand the deep things of God? You want to understand the prophecies? You want to understand the workings of the way of the world and why it is evil and how you can come out of it and how you can avoid it? Well, you need to study the Bible. You need the Spirit of God. For who among men understands the things of man except by the Spirit of man which is in him? In the same way also, the things of God no one understands except by the Spirit of God. That's why the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And the Word of God is the Word of truth. So it's like a lock and a key. You need both to open the door and to open the door of your mind. Now, you will find many of our studies and teachings following right along with all the rules of Bible study, because I could go on for dozens and dozens of sermons demonstrating on how to study the Bible. So what we're going to do with this number 7, how to study the Bible, I'm going to give you the rest of the 14 rules of Bible study with very little comment. We've covered number 1 and number 2. Number 3, understand the context, the verses before and after, the chapters before and after. Does your understanding of a particular verse harmonize with the rest of the Bible? See, because the Bible is one unified book with 7 major divisions. The Law, the Prophets, the Psalms, the Gospel and Acts, the General Epistles, the Epistles of Paul, and the Book of Revelation. It takes time to get to learn those and know those. Number 4, understand the original language, Hebrew or Greek. Now, that becomes difficult, and the thing that is most important with that is, are those who presenting the original language, either Hebrew or Greek, honest and truthful? Because a lot of false doctrine comes from wrong studying of the Hebrew and the Greek. Now, here is an absolute rule to remember, which is number 4 here. Never try to establish dogmatic doctrine or teachings by using Strong's Concordance. Now, Strong's Concordance can be very helpful because it lists all the scriptures word by word. And you can study. And then it has a dictionary in the back numbering all of the words. And that is very helpful. But it is also a weakness, especially with verbs and participles, because of the tense of the verb, the mood, the application, the number of people, and so forth. So you have to be very careful. All right, number 5. Here's how to study as you're going along. You ask questions. What does the passage clearly say? Number 6, ask, what does the passage not say? Number 7, ask, to whom was the book written? Number 8, ask, who wrote it? Number 9, ask, who said it? Now, all of those are important so that you don't come away with half-cocked ideas. Because remember this, the mind of man wants its own way first rather than God's way. So you have to ask all these questions so you don't come up with a wrong conclusion. Number 10, and this becomes very important, understand the historical time frame and the cultural setting of when the book was written. This is what's so important, especially with the New Testament, as we have pointed out. The question was not Sabbath Sunday keeping back in Jesus' day. It was the commandments of God and the love of God and the truth of God versus the Judaism and the traditions of Judaism, and then later all of the paganism from all of their pagan religions. See? So you have to understand what it's talking about. That's why when you read Acts 17 about how Paul spoke to the philosophers on Mars Hill, very important. Number 11, do not bring your personal assumptions or preconceived notions into your understanding or conclusions, because it can be wrong. Let the Word of God explain the Word of God. Number 12, base your study on the biblical understanding you already have. Ask yourself, what do you know up to this point in time? And remember, since God's understanding is limitless, eternal, spiritual, fantastic, and the Bible is put together that we always learn. I learn all the time. And when I study, I grow in grace and knowledge. And then what I need to do is to teach that to the brethren. 13, very important. Do not form conclusions based on partial facts or insufficient information or the opinions and speculations of others. Now, I'm reading a book written by a man who's supposed to be a minister in the Church of God. And he is so self-centered that every prophecy in the Old Testament he takes to himself to mean himself. So he becomes, and his son, the two prophets. He's also that prophet which the Bible shows is only Jesus Christ. He also claims to be Elisha. He also, and there's another one who claims to be the apostle for the 21st century, and he's going to have authority over the two witnesses. Now, all of those are examples of conclusions based on partial facts, insufficient information, the opinion and speculations of others. Now, you can take the same thing. We have right here at Church at Home an extended series on Was Peter Ever in Rome? And you need to go through every one of those because the answer is he never was in Rome. And yet, the Roman Catholic Church believes the lie that he was in Rome and was the first pope. That is not true. That's why you don't take the teachings of men and read them into the Bible. Number 14, this goes right along with it. Personal opinions and convictions. Now, everybody has opinions. And today, Everybody's opinion is as good as another. Well, if that is so, why do we have so much trouble in the world? Would you say that the terrorists who kill and blow up people think, before they kill themselves, that they're doing right in doing so? Are they sincere to do it? Yes.
الحمد لله الذي من علينا بالعمليات الاستشهادية. فوالله طوبى لمن قدم إلى هذا الطريق. طوبى لمن قدم لعمليات استشهادية مباشرة تتفجر السيارة. فهذه تأمينة يعني. تأمينة تكون إيش فوق. تنزل تحت تكون السيارة جاهزة يعني على ضغط الزر فقط. فأبشروا يا أعداء الدين بما يسوءكم إن شاء الله بإذن الله. والله لا نقاتلكم لا بسيارات ولا أقاتلكم لا بعدة ولا بسلاح نقاتلكم بإيمان بالله عز وجل
Sincerity without truth is worthless. Need to understand that. Okay? Personal opinions or convictions, regardless of how sincere, don't count. Scripture alone must be your standard and guide. That's what's important. Now, when we did the Bible, truth, 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 led by God's Spirit, so that what we have in this translation, the Holy Bible in its original order, conveys to you the truth. And we have many appendices, and especially for those who need to understand the difficult scriptures of the Apostle Paul, because he wrote many difficult scriptures. And those are hard to understand. Now let's take an overview of why the Bible is the most important book in the world. Number one, it tells us about God, God the Father, and Jesus Christ. It also tells us truth. It also tells us why we were born. It also tells us about evil spirits, Satan, the devil, and the demons. It's for all, kings, governors, rulers, leaders. There are instructions in the Old Testament to the king, so he wouldn't be lifted up in his vanity and arrogance and narcissism above the people. He was commanded to go to the temple and write for himself in his own scroll the complete law of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, so that he would know it. Because as king, he had to govern with the Word of God. It's for all ministers, it's for all families, and in the family, the Bible tells us about child-rearing, husband-wife relations. Isn't that amazing? Because when we're done with this whole list of things that the Bible contains, you're going to be absolutely amazed. And no wonder the God of this world, Satan, the devil, doesn't want you to have it, doesn't want you to understand it. It also tells us about health. It gives us knowledge, understanding, wisdom in the things that we do in our life to make decisions in relationship to God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, the laws, commandments, and statutes of God, Old Testament and New Testament. Now, if you want a real involved study concerning the laws and commandments of God and so forth, go ahead and study Psalm 119. Amazing thing. It tells us about the Sabbath, and the Sabbath day is so important. You cannot understand the Bible unless you believe God and keep the Sabbath day. Then, it also informs us that the Sabbath day is an appointment by God for us every week to come to Him. And if we come to Him, he will bless us. And if we study his word, he will give us understanding. And we have subjects on every one of these things, sermons on all these subjects, okay? Sabbath, holy days, prophecy, history. Boy, that's important. Also, it teaches us how to pray, how to study, how to meditate, how to fast, why that is important. Then the Holy Spirit guides us in the love of God, the love of neighbor, the love of the brethren, even the love of our enemies. Isn't that something? And that's the most important thing that there is. And to show you how important it is, those who study quantum physics and biology realize that what makes everything tick is love. And of course, that comes from God. It also tells us hope. Why are we here? Where are we going? How is God going to save us? How is God going to save the world? Faith. What to believe in. How to believe. Righteousness and sin. Overcoming human nature. How do we have our minds transformed and renewed? What is conversion? How does that work? All of that is there in the Bible. It also tells us about forgiveness. It tells us about mercy. This is why we have the Bible. And the Bible actually, with the Spirit of God, is more important than the physical food that we eat. Because without the Spirit of God, there is no life. Without the understanding of God, there's no way you can live your life that is going to result in the end result at the resurrection of eternal life. Because Jesus said, I am the way, through his word and truth. I am the way, the truth. He's also called the Word of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So this is why the Bible is the most important book in the world and why you need to study it the proper way. So you get yourself one of these Bibles, the Holy Bible, in its original order, and you use it every single day. We also have it online at afaithfulversion.org, where we have the whole Bible, the text, and also the audio reading of it, which you can have free for yourself. So this is how to study the Bible. And of course, we could give many, many more examples of study and so forth. Every sermon, every Sabbath, every teaching, every subject, every topic shows us how to study and put the Word of God together so that we can grow in grace and knowledge, be sanctified by the truth, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, and attain unto eternal life. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.